Matthew chapter 6. When you find your place in Matthew chapter 6, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right. I think that's most of you. And we'll get there in Matthew chapter 6. And this morning, I want to preach a message to you that I believe will help us all. That's my prayer. I'm asked the Lord to help us all understand what God wants us to learn about the subject of fasting. It's a very in-depth subject, and there is no way that I could exhaust the subject of fasting in 30, 40 minutes. There's just no way. But I do want to give you at least an abbreviated introduction to what is it about God's people fasting? What is the significance? What is the reason? What is it commanded? Is it really necessary? How often? A lot of questions around fasting, and I just prayed and felt like the Holy Spirit was saying that I needed to teach on this. And we're going into our winter revival here in a couple weeks, and I am asking and all of us to consider special times of prayer and fasting in some form, and where we're seeking the face of the Lord for personal revival and also corporate revival, where we're not only praying for our own hearts, but we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ here at the church, praying for one another, that we all would experience personal revival and a revival together, a move of God's Spirit where man can't explain supernatural movements of God. People's hearts being changed. And no man can explain that. That's the Lord's doings. And it's marvelous in our eyes. And so that's what we are seeking to do. We're seeking to see the Lord work. And I believe that this subject of fasting is important. But let's look at our subject here that Jesus is teaching on. And the Sermon on the Mount, he brings up this topic of this practice of fasting. And he's bringing it up in a corrective manner. He's speaking to the Pharisees here that were fasting all right, but they were doing it in the wrong manner with the wrong motive. Both of those are super important when it comes to biblical fasting. Notice what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16. Jesus said, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear unto men to, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." With the Lord's help, I just want to preach a message to you entitled this, "Fasting Without Frowning." Do you think that's possible? I believe it is, because Jesus told us not to frown when we fast. I believe that we can fast with the right spirit, with the right motive, in the right manner, in a way that God Almighty will be honored, in a way that God Almighty will reward us. I'm going to try my best to simply be a voice this morning, because I feel like fasting is super intimidating. At least it is to me. There are so many mysteries around fasting. And you think like, man, I don't know about that. And what do I do? And how do I do it? Well, I hope to maybe calm some fears today. Well, not me, but I'm hoping the Holy Spirit teaches us that it is a practice that is super possible with the help of the Holy Spirit. And as we saw in our passage, Jesus did not say if ye fast. He did say, when ye fast. And the truth implied in that is it is a practice of God's people. It should be. Now, one thing we will be clear of, and I'll say this and again, it's interesting that fasting is not commanded in the New Testament. Fasting is never to be compulsory. It is never to be forced on anybody. It is a voluntary action of the will. It is a matter of the heart between you and the Lord as He leads you in your Christian journey. And we're going to see the examples of fasting through Scripture. I believe we gather all that information. We consider what God is saying about fasting. And then we say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Would you give me wisdom? In fact, let's just ask the Holy Spirit now to teach us. God Almighty, we come to you this morning with hearts of praise. You're such a great God. And Lord, to sing it is well with my soul, Lord. The reason it is well with my soul is because of you. Because of the saving grace of God. Thank you, Lord. As we sang, when the roll is called up yonder. Lord, I thank you that we celebrate this morning those that have put their faith in the gospel, that our names are written in heaven. Blessed be the name of Jesus. And now, Holy Spirit, you know this subject is a bit of a mystery. And Lord, we just pray that you would illumine our hearts and minds around the subject of fasting. And that we would not be intimidated by it, but that we would understand it as you would intend us to understand. And so, God, with your help and by your power, I pray you would speak as I preach this message this morning. It is for your honor and it's for your glory. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Has anybody ever heard of the word hangry? I believe we all have. We've experienced the emotion of being hangry. In fact, I'm reminded every time I'm coming from Gainesville, coming back to Athens or Jefferson, right up on the right before you get to the interstate, there's this big, huge billboard sign that Zaxby's has up, and it says, "Hangry?" question mark, and then it says, "Bring it." I believe we've all experienced that feeling of being so hungry that we become irritable, temperamental, and quite frankly, sometimes we just get angry. I know I have a 16-month-year-old that I want to tell you, buddy, there's some serious hangriness in our household. When she's hungry, she doesn't ask nicely. She screams. And she's even got to the point now where when we go to offer her some food, she has a way of telling us that that's not the food she's looking for. You want this? Mm-mm. What about this? Mm-mm. Give her a cookie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you want. You want potato chips. Mm-hmm. But you know, it is a serious thing, you know, and we experience that. And I think one of the things we need to realize up front on this subject of fasting, do you know it's just as biblical and should be just as practiced? Which we don't really have a problem with this one, but the fact that God is so good and He's the giver of all good gifts, do you know that feasting is also biblical? Amen! Got one out of that one! Come on, don't be scared! It's okay. We're all in this together. Feasting is biblical. You had times of feasting around Christmas when we have weddings, we have feasts, we have birthdays, we have feasts. We have feasts at all different times of celebrating. When we have homecoming, we have a feast. That's biblical. God wants His people to enjoy the food that He's blessed us with. And I don't mean to offend anybody here, but thank God that pork is on the menu too. Now, I don't have anything wrong because I know it's unhealthy and I don't hold it against anybody that doesn't eat it. But I'm thankful that if I give thanks over it, I can enjoy it. that good barbecue sandwich and other things. But the fact of the matter is, God has given us things to enjoy and to be full and to enjoy that. Now, there is a such thing as indulgence, and we'll speak a little bit about that. God doesn't want us to indulge in such a way where it's gluttonous and where it has been practiced in years past, that it's not just feasting, but people indulge so much that they get sick, and that's not good. It's not to be that way. And so we understand that there is a balance in that. There's feasting, but what we as Baptists a lot of times don't want to talk about is fasting. We'll talk about feasting. No problem with that one, is it? I heard one preacher say, some Baptists think that verse in Peter says, instead of "but grow in grace," says "but grow in grease." Sometimes we can feel that way. And sometimes we practice that, but fasting is a practice that I believe is helpful to the spiritual journey that God has given us to be done in a context, again, that is scriptural, and that's what I would like to cover this morning. As I mentioned, when Jesus said this in verse 16, he was speaking to the hypocrites that were basically fasting for attention from man. They were doing it to impress. They were doing it not for God. They were not doing it for their own heart. They were doing it to be seen of men. In fact, he gave that command that, look, they put on the sackcloth, which was like a black cloth they would put over their head. That was a sackcloth. And then the ashes, they would put ashes on their face, and their faces would be literally white looking. And so it was very obvious. And they would often go on market days, where Monday and Thursday, and that's where they would designate their fast days conveniently, so that everyone could recognize that they were spiritual and that they were fasting. But they weren't spiritual, because they were doing it in the wrong manner, and they were doing it with the wrong motive. And so Jesus was correcting them. And when you do it, hey, put some oil on your head. You know, it was practiced when they were going to a nice meal or a nice occasion. It was common that the people would put oil on their hair. I don't know, maybe it's a little, I guess, similar and illustrating. Maybe it's like putting gel on your hair or hairspray when you go to fix your hair in the morning. Most of us use a little something. Well, most of us do. And use a little something to fix our hair or whatever the case may be. Some of us don't need to do that, do we? Huh? Amen. Raul was like, nah, it's just a shine going on that morning. Amen. That's all right. But nevertheless, you see, they did that because, and the reason Jesus said that, put some oil on you, is because, look, you don't need to be looking sad at all. You don't need to give any kind of impression that you're fasting. You're not doing it to impress men. He goes on to say that you don't even need to disfigure your face. You don't need to put any paint on your face. You don't need to put any ashes on your face. You don't need to be looking hangry with your face disfigured. I've seen some hangry looks, haven't you? I tell you, look, Chloe, she trips us out. I got a new nickname for her. It's Firecracker. She's our little firecracker. And she has a habit of scowling, boy, just turning those eyebrows in. Just letting me know something. Some of you have seen that. Y'all pray for us. We need revival right there, all right? But, you know, that's the way these guys would go. They'd go in the market and they'd just be just disfigured. And they would want the attention. And Jesus said, that's not the way to do it. Let me give you 4 points here. If you're taking notes, would you notice, number one, the simple definition of fasting. The literal meaning is not eating. When it's used in this context, and when it's used also in 1 Corinthians, where Paul was talking to the married couples and saying, look, if you're going to abstain from physical intimacy, you need to, because of fasting, he said, you just need to do it for a short bit, and it needs to be done in agreement with one another, lest the devil get a foothold. And so when it's used in that context, fasting, it's the Greek word nasteia. Or stastia, and nay is the negation, And stia means to eat. So basically, in its truest form, it means not to eat food. Now, that's the literal meaning, but there's a practical meaning that goes with fasting, and you could call it the spirit of the meaning. And I like how one defined it as this. The practical meaning of fasting is this: the voluntary denial of something, it may not be food, but something for a specific time, for a spiritual, this is so important, a spiritual purpose by an individual, family, community, church, or nation. So you see, those are some elements that must be there. It is a specific time, it is a specific purpose, and it is to be done in a way is for the Lord. Now, I will say this, there is not one example in Scripture where fasting is done for health in the Word of God. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with fasting. If you do intermittent fasting or whatever, there are some health benefits they say around that. That's okay. But I will say this. You won't find that type of fasting in the Bible, just for a diet, just to lose weight. Now, it's a natural result, of course, in some ways, especially if it's any length of time. That's, you know, Captain Obvious. But the fact of the matter is, when we see fasting in the Bible, it's always for a spiritual purpose. There's a need, and I'm going to look at those here in just a second, of what some of those examples are. So it is a voluntary denial. It is something that you decide from your heart, being led by the Spirit, when a fast is called or when God puts it on your own heart, that you make a decision. Now, let me say this. Fasting is not to be viewed as a punishment for the physical body, because that's a misunderstanding of fasting. Some think it's bringing pain to your body. That's not the reason for fasting. It should not be viewed as punishment for the physical body, but as a nourishment for the spiritual life. A nourishment for the spiritual life. For instance, fasting is healthy spiritually because there are times where let's just be honest here, we just have too much. We're too full. Now, I am not being critical of being full. I believe Paul said, I've learned both to be full and both to suffer need. I have learned to be empty. I've learned to be full. But whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. So nobody's being critical of experiencing fullness. When it comes to the physical world, when it comes to our food, or when it comes to having things, that's okay. But the matter is, sometimes we spend so much emphasis on being full that we forget that God does like us to be empty at times. And I think of it like a plant. I am not a gardener. I don't have a green thumb. Lord knows I try. But it just, a lot of times, does not work out real well. If anything survives on my watch, it is simply by the grace of God. It is a miracle. I got some rose bushes out here I would not show anybody. I wouldn't even show my enemy. I tell you, I hope there's a revival that comes back. We'll see in the spring. But between the deer and everything else, I don't know. But nevertheless, you know, with plants, there's a such thing as having too much water. There's such thing as plants having too much sun. There's a balance that says, and you'll read it on a lot of the little labels, that when you go to Lowe's or Home Depot or where, or Kofers, and you buy your plant for the spring or whatever, it tells you on there how much sunlight it needs. Maybe it's no sun, only shade. There's so much water, needs to be well watered. There's a balance in those things. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, there's a lot of truth with that, with the spiritual life. There are times that I don't need to be full. There are times I need to be empty in order to grow properly. If I'm full all the time, I'm not going to grow like God wants me to grow. And so there are things in our life that God will bring circumstances to bring some emptiness in our life. And then at that times, those will be some profitable times for fasting. Because we seek to know the mind of the Lord and seek to be closer to Him. And that's where we see the practicality of spiritual growth by fasting. I'm afraid we have become fearful of deprivation of any kind. The world and our flesh has subtly convinced us that the indulgence of every appetite, psychologically and physically profitable, or above profitable above all else. And the world says, get full, stay full, and be as full as you can of every material thing that you can, and that's where you will find satisfaction. But that's not the Christian outlook. We are to enjoy fullness. Well, we ought to realize that there's health and emptiness as well. Now, we have scripture examples of fasting. One of the first instances of fasting is God did command it. In fact, it's the one instance, and it's found in Leviticus, and it's involving the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. That is when there would be the priest would go into the holiest of holies, and he would make that 1 year sacrifice. And on that day, the children of Israel are instructed and commanded clearly to have a fast, a food fast, and other fasts that went along with that. They were basically to do nothing. And that day of remembering, their sins were being taken care of by the blood of the Lamb. And they were to remember that, and their focus was to be solely upon that. And God commanded that clearly. Other instances of fasting we see in the context of deliverance. Remember the story of Esther? Remember the nation of Israel was going to be wiped out unless she were to intervene. And they needed God's delivering hand. And that's what they did. They proclaimed a fast. In the context of deliverance, also in the context of desperation, there's fasting. You remember when David lost his child. He and Bathsheba had a child together, out of wedlock, if you say, you know, because of adultery. And the child did pass away, and as because of being sick, and he was fasting. That when the child was living and he was fasting, he was praying, he was desperate. God, please save the life of this child. And the child did not make it. And I believe the child went to heaven. As David made the comment after he was questioned, why aren't you fasting anymore after the child had passed away? That he was, why'd you stop fasting? Why are you eating again? He said, because there's nothing I can do now. There's no difference I can make, but I will see my child again, he said. There was desperation. We see, and there are so many other examples that go along with these topics of fasting. I'm just skimming the surface on a few. There's also the context of protection. You remember Jehoshaphat was desperate when the Assyrians were closing in. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3, and he proclaimed a fast. They needed God to intervene and protect them from being taken. And that's where he would make that famous statement. You've heard me say it. It's such a wonderful statement. He said, Lord, we know not what to do, but our eyes are upon Thee for protection. There's also the context of fasting in the Word of God with anticipation. That's a positive context for fasting. You know, the disciples asked Jesus. They said, Jesus. You know, they questioned him about why aren't you fasting, or why aren't your disciples fasting like John the Baptist's disciples are fasting? And the Pharisees fasting. Why don't you fast and your disciples? And he said, well, look, he gave the example that the bridegroom is here. And when the bridegroom is in the chamber, there's no need of fasting. But there's going to be a time when the bridegroom, who represents Jesus Christ, is going to leave. He's going to ascend up in glory. And he said that'll be the appropriate time to do some fasting. Because of the anticipation. Because of missing the Savior and looking forward to seeing Him again. There's that anticipation factor. And some would say, well, hey, didn't the Holy Spirit come and indwell us and bring comfort? He most certainly did, and He does. But I still believe there ought to be a healthy spiritual longing in every heart, of every heart of the child of God. In every child of God's heart, there ought to be a longing. And that is an anticipation that sometimes it'd be healthy for us to set something aside to just reflect upon that Jesus is coming again. Also, in the context of direction, in the New Testament, you remember the elders of the church in Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas were wanting to be sent out as church planters. God, the Holy Spirit called them. And what did it say the church did? The church got around and fasted. They set aside food and they said, hey, let's pray and make sure we got the mind of the Lord right here. Let God guide us. And then the elders as well in chapter 14, verse 23, as they were confirming, there was a fasting, there was a spiritual emphasis. Reminds us as a local church that it is a practice when we're looking for direction. And maybe we should do that more often, church, and when we're looking for some specific direction from the Holy Spirit and ask Him to lead us. Not only do we see it in the context of direction, but we see fasting in the context of repentance. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 2. I wish I could take you to these passages. We just don't have the time. But please note them and look at them later. Nehemiah 9, 1 through 2. There was a fast that was called after the rebuilding of the wall. And there was a brokenness after the Word of God was being read. And the Holy Spirit was working in their hearts. And there was a time of renewal. We also see when Jonah preached to Nineveh, those wicked, filthy, vile Assyrians. They were just totally against God and the God of the Bible. And Jonah was commanded by God to go preach the word to them. And you know what they did? They responded. In fact, they responded so greatly it made Jonah mad. He was not expecting that. He didn't want them to. But the fact of the matter is, they did, and it says they responded with fasting. It was a state of repentance and something that we can keep in mind, that when God's worked in our heart and we're working through a change of heart and mind about something, hey, let's set this aside so that I can remember what God has done in my life. I think of mourning. Joel chapter 2, 12 through 13, when the locust came as a judgment of God and was a picture also of the day of the Lord, the great wrath and tribulation that was going to come. God used it and said, Joel claimed to fast, that we need to fast and respond to the Lord. For He's devoured, the locusts have devoured all. And one of the commands is this. Now get this, this is the spirit of fasting. You know what the command was? He said, Rend your hearts, not your clothes. That's the spirit of fasting. God says, look, I'm seeing you every day. I see you. You go out there, and that was symbolic in the Jewish culture and the mindset. When there was repentance, they would rip their clothes. When there was mourning, when there was grief, they would just rip the garment from off of themselves as a symbolic. And it was all done for show. And God says, hey, don't worry about ripping your clothes. Let's rend your heart. Let your heart be submitted to me. And let the God. And by the way, I'm always reminded, God's wrath is not created primarily to scare us into submission. Although I will say that has worked in my life. I want to tell you right now, all it took for me as a kid, when I knew I was getting out of hand, is when my dad went to that top drawer of the dresser. I heard the jingle. I want to tell you, I became a saint like that. There is healthy in being fearful. Amen? But you know the primary cause of God's people coming back to Him is what is stated in Joel. You know what it is? God's mercy. He loves to pardon. He loves to extend forgiveness. He loves to be full of mercy. And He is full of mercy. And when God's people are mourning because of judgment or sin, I tell you, God is going to extend that forgiveness. But He tells us that in that passage that fasting was a part of that. Those are some examples. So what does that mean for us, church? We've seen some examples, and so what does that mean as an individual? And that's my next point. We see the simple definition of fasting. We see the scriptural examples of fasting. And now let's look at some of the spiritual focus of fasting. Number one, I'm going to go through these quickly. I believe it will be right for us to be prepared. Can I just say this? God may lead you to do this, but it has not worked well for me. And as I talk to others, it doesn't work well for them either. But fasting spontaneously is usually not a good idea. It may be the situation. It may be a context of you. But one of the things that I have found in my life, when I all of a sudden say just random, like, you know, I think I might fast the rest of the day, it ends up being bad. I end up getting disgruntled and being hangry and realizing, man, I didn't plan this very well. So one of the things I believe the scriptural focus of fasting, it should be prepared. There's a planning ahead. There's a time that you look ahead. Maybe a day on the calendar. Maybe a time of day. But realize it's only a season. God doesn't intend for us to be fasting every day. I believe there's a balance. And I believe that we have to be careful, but we need to be prepared. Also, those that have medical issues, there are some that don't need to fast from food. Because of your medicines you take, because of the current health of your body. God knows that. He understands that. He's not going to hold that against anybody. But there are other methods. But the fact of the matter is, we need to be prepared. Because we need to understand that when we do this, there will be a feeling, if I can use that word, there will be a feeling of emptiness. It's not a real good feeling in the sense of feels good to my flesh. But there's a purpose to feel empty. And that's why you plan ahead. It's psychological too. It's spiritual. It's mental. It's physical. It's all combined. Body, soul, and spirit. All three are involved in the process of fasting. But here's the thing. I need to prepare my mind that when I feel empty, it's on purpose. I'm not fasting just to say, I'm fasting. I'm fasting because there is something in my life where I need deliverance. I'm desperate. I need victory in a certain area. I need protection. I do it in anticipation of my Lord. I need specific direction. Perhaps I'm in a moment of repentance in my life. There's all those categories and more. I need to be doing it for a purpose, not just to say I did it. Does that make sense? So there needs to be preparation, but then it needs to be purposeful. That's the motive. What the motive is why am I doing this? Now, let me make this clear, just in case anybody does not understand this. The purpose of scriptural fasting is not to manipulate God into doing what we want. Fasting is not the means by which we are somehow turned into Aladdin and God is turned into our compliant genie and sent to grant our every wish. And I like how this brother stated this. He said, we must not think that by not eating, we can have God eating out of our hand. That's not the spirit of fasting. Fasting, the purpose, the motive is, enables us to be more aware of God's presence. More aware of His Word and His will. Fasting, get this, is not gaining God's blessings. It's gaining a clearer vision of the blessings that are already there. They're there. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Get this, church. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And what happens in this world of busyness, busy standing for bound under Satan's yoke, and so much fullness that this world's wanting to shove down my throat everywhere I turn around, and wanting me to be so full that I forget about God. And fasting is saying, no! I need some time to be empty and spend some time just reflecting on the Lord. I need to take some specific time for a specific purpose. It's not going to gain me any spiritual favor with God, folks. But it is going to allow my mind to clear up. And my acuteness, my awareness of the Lord to grow. Of what He's blessed me with, what He's given me, what He desires to give me. There's a fog in life a lot of times. And I'm reminded there when I was in Glacier National Park there in Alaska. We were disappointed that first time in the morning because it was such a dense fog. I'm like, man, come all this way and I'm not even going to be able to see the glaciers. But I want to tell you folks, it was probably about 9 o'clock. Man, that fog started lifting. And when that fog lifted, wow. Behold. Wow. And I want to tell you, that's what scriptural fasting will do. It will help lift the fog up in our lives and let us behold the beauty of the Lord. It's a practice that is biblical. It's personal. It's voluntary. Fasting is another way to say, Jesus, You must increase, but I must decrease. It's not about my appetite for food, Lord. It's about my appetite for You. Someone said fasting is like tying a ribbon around your finger to remember the Lord. Not only do we need to be prepared and to be purposeful, but thirdly, as I mentioned, and I'm not going to preach this again, we need to be pleasant. Have a smile on our face. Be joyful. And that helps to be purposeful because you can kind of work yourself up to it. Say, hey, on that day, I'm going to try extra hard not to be grumpy. We have a little saying in our house when one of us is being grumpy that I guess it's something that maybe one of the kids heard in kindergarten. We kind of laugh at it. Get what you get and don't pitch a fit. Anybody ever heard that? But we want to be pleasant. This is my closing point. We see simple definition of fasting, scriptural examples of fasting. We see the spiritual focus of fasting. But then fourthly, we see the sundry methods of fasting, the various methods of fasting. This is where you are led of the Holy Spirit. There are different types. There are food fasts where you only have water. Sometimes I've heard some people fasting just for one meal. That day, they take a breakfast or a lunch or supper. And during that meal time, that would generally take about 30 minutes to have their meal. They go off into a quiet, secret place or quiet place where they can read the Word and just pray. Just for that meal. Perhaps it's there are partial fasts. There are juice fasts where you just drink juice that day. There are what they call Daniel fast, where you just eat vegetables. And you, that time you're reminded that you're focusing on specific things for a purpose in your life. There's also, which I think when you're going to do a fast, I think this is a given when you do a fast, is that you seek with all your heart to abstain from entertainment. Called an entertainment fast. Basically, you set aside the news. You set aside social media, video games, ball games. Watching sports. And what you do is you set that aside where you normally would watch a game or a show. You say, you know what? During that time, I'm just going to set that aside, and I'm going to put my focus to praying and reading the Word. Sometimes it's going to be totally random in how you fast, the method. I heard of one testimony recently that this individual had decided to fast one day and they had 4 meetings that day. Very busy. I don't know if it was a real estate agent or not, but they were busy, had 4 meetings. But one of the things that this person realized, it was a lady, she said, I typically would listen to, you know, Christian music in my car, and I loved it. It was encouraging, and that's great. But what the Holy Spirit laid on her heart, and again, this is just her. It's led by the Spirit. You know what she did? She said, instead of that day listening to music, I turned the stereo off, and during the time that I was generally listening to music, I spent that time in prayer. You be led of the Lord. God will show you. When you start making it that you have to do it this way, that's Pharisaical. And that is not, fasting is not to be a burden. In fact, the complete opposite. Fasting is to bring freedom. As we seek to be closer to the Lord and seeing Him better. Fasting is designed to work up a good appetite for the things of God. Oh, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, He said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." He said, "For they shall be filled." As I close here, we understand feasting and fasting are both spiritual practices that teach us both how to be hungry and how to be full, how to suffer need and also how to abound. Here's the challenge that I want to leave you this morning with my own heart and with your heart as individuals and us as a church. What we need to be cautious of and guard against is to be people who only feast. And we do not in some way fast at times. For a specific time, a specific scriptural, spiritual purpose. May the Lord help us to enjoy both of them, everything God's given us. But folks, we got revival evangelists coming in, and I'm praying that the ground would be plowed up good in our hearts, and there'd be tender, soft ground, ready for the seed of the Word of God to fall on good ground, that we're hungry and thirsty for it. Let's, in the days ahead, even if you don't sign up on the list, nobody's holding that against anybody. But you, between you and the Lord, let's spend some time seeking Him. Amen. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer?